As I mentioned this morning, we're going to continue a little bit what we were looking at this morning because we are on the brink of a new year. This is the first Sunday, the first Lord's Day of 2020. And so we want to spend a little bit of time thinking about how we can be encouraged in our spiritual walk as we want to grow and work as prosperously and as fully as we can for the cause of Christ and for His kingdom. And in regard to that, we understand, of course, that Satan sometimes will tempt us to remember the things that we have not done as well in as we would have liked to have done, the times that we have failed, the times that we have been defeated, the times that we have been discouraged, the times that we have sinned. And that Satan will use those things against us to discourage us. We will use those things against our own selves to discourage our own selves so that we don't feel like maybe what we're doing is really worth it. So that what we're doing in our Christian life and how we're trying to live, maybe we're just spinning our wheels. Maybe it's all just futile. And yet, we have to understand that even though we have sinned, and all have sinned, the Bible is very clear about that, even though we've all made mistakes, we've all been discouraged, we've all had moments where we were less than perfect and less than stellar behavior, that we still can move forward. There is still much for us to do, and there is still much that we can accomplish for the cause of Christ. And rather than being discouraged, we have to remember that even after defeat, there still can be victory, like we were singing tonight. Victory is where we're aiming. And this morning, we looked briefly at Joshua chapter 7 and 8, where the children of Israel were defeated in trying to go up against the city of Ai to fulfill God's will to clean the idolatrous influence of paganism out of the land as they began to take possession of it, and they were defeated. People died, and it certainly was a very discouraging thing. Yet we learn when we read that entire account in Joshua 7 and 8 that the problem was sin. There was sin among them. It had to be addressed. It had to be dealt with. It had to be confessed. It had to be punished. The consequences had to be suffered. And then the people could move forward. And the next time, they were very victorious. You see, they had had a defeat, but they succeeded because they moved forward after taking the steps that they needed to take to get their life right and keep it right with God. So as we thought about this, that, and as we're thinking about that today, there are four broad areas that I want us to look at. We looked at two of them this morning. We'll look at the other two tonight. But you may recall this morning that the two broad areas or examples, I guess, that we pulled out is number one, that just because we were defeated yesterday, yesterday's losses, yesterday's defeats, do not doom today or tomorrow or our future, and that we can move forward. We learned that, of course, from the example of Joshua. But secondly, we also learn, don't stumble over the same stone twice, that we need to see what is broken, fix it, and then move forward. And we can do that with the help of God's Word and our willing faith to follow exactly what it is that the Lord wants us to do. Now, we're going to look at two more principles tonight, two more examples or illustrations, you might say, principles perhaps, that will help us to realize that there can be victory after defeat. Because, like I said, all of us have suffered at one time or another some form of defeat, sin, discouragement, family issues, all sorts of things that happen to us that discourage us to fall back or to even fall away. And yet, we can move forward. Joshua and the army and the Israelites were very, very discouraged when they lost to Ai. 36 men died, it says. They were discouraged. They were down. And yet, they learned how to move forward in spite of this setback. And here, as we continue on from what we started this morning, we looked at two principles. Well, here's the third one that we want to think about tonight. Get up one more time than you fall. Get up one more time than you fall. See, that makes you a champion. That's victory after defeat. Because you're able to get up one more time than you've fallen. Championship seasons are rarely undefeated seasons, are they? I think in the history of the NFL, there's only been one team that has gone undefeated. Some have come very close with only one loss or so. But there's only been one team in the history of the NFL that has an undefeated season. What about the NBA and the MLB? There are no teams. They've won World Series and championships, but there are no teams in the basketball world, professional basketball world, and the professional baseball world that are undefeated. And yet, they're champions, aren't they? Somebody comes out on top, but they don't come out on top undefeated. They've gotten up one more time than they have fallen. You think about some of the greatest athletes that you've ever known. I think most people agree, as far as golf is concerned, that Tiger Woods may be one of the greatest golf players that has ever existed. But he's lost some. But he keeps getting back up. You see, we've got to do that. And we as Christians, because we're human, and Satan knows which buttons to push, and he knows how to tempt us, and he knows what allures us. You know, James 1, you know, says that we're tempted when we're drawn away by our own lust and enticed. And Satan knows what it is that entices you and me. And the same thing that entices me may not entice you, and so on and so forth. But he knows what it is for each and every one of us that will get us. He knows what button to push. He knows what formula to mix to give to us to make us discouraged and defeated. And because we're human, we make mistakes. We sin. Sometimes we make very serious mistakes. Achan, back in Joshua 7 and 8, seemed fairly harmless to take some valuables from the conquered city of Jericho. But 36 men died because he did that. A lot more serious than it looked like on the surface. Sometimes we make serious mistakes. And they have serious consequences. Peter in the New Testament made some pretty serious mistakes. And I guess that the top of that list would be when he stood in the garden and he stood by the fire and he denied with cursing and swearing that he even knew who Jesus was. But you know what? He got up from that defeat. He got up from that fall. And we read in Acts chapter 2, that man who had made such a serious mistake, who had sinned so grievously, that man is given the privilege of unlocking the gospel for all mankind. Remember, Jesus gave him the keys to the kingdom. Jesus let him use them to unlock the gates of salvation, to open the doors of the church so that all men might be saved. You see, he got up one more time than he fell. And it could be that you've made some pretty serious mistakes. It could be that you've made some pretty serious sinful choices or decisions. Maybe you've forsaken the Lord in your heart. You can get back up. You can continue to move forward. You may have been defeated, and you may feel defeated, but you can get back up, and you can move forward. You see, you can return. I can return and live the Christian life. If I've lost my zeal, my desire, it can be restored. I can make a return to where I have left. And if I'm on the road of sin, that wide, remember Jesus in Matthew 7 talks about the broad and wide path that leads to destruction, and I'm headed, at 100 miles an hour down that, I can make a U-turn. I can turn it around. And I can get up one more time than I've fallen. I may have been defeated. I may have been out of step with God. I may have thrown, all the principles of holiness and righteousness and goodness that I know, aside for some dumb decisions. But I can turn it back around. I can return to the Lord. And I believe Jesus told a very well-known story about a young man who made some really bad choices. We call him the prodigal because that's what he wanted to do. You read about it in Luke 15, was live prodigally. He wanted to live wastefully. He wanted to live destructively. You may recall from Luke 15, he receives basically kind of a meal ticket of the inheritance, his share of the inheritance from his father, and he goes out and he uses it foolishly, squanders it sinfully. There's no debate about that. Even he doesn't deny it. And then he's defeated. He's down in the pig pen, literally and spiritually. And he's at the end. But you know what he decides to do? He's been defeated. He's been duped. He's been deceived. He's been stupid. He's made foolish choices and he's sinned. But you know what he decides to do? You read that again in Luke 15. This is what I will do, he says. I will arise. He gets up. I will arise and I will go to my Father. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against you and in heaven and your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. See, here's a young man who was defeated by sin and self-deception and foolish choices. But after defeat, there can be victory. And he got up one more time than he fell. You and I can do the same thing. You find yourself in a place that you don't want to be, a place you don't need to be, a place you would really like to get out of. Arise. Go to the Father. Admit it. Deal with it. And then move forward. Because victory is found when we get up one more time than we fall. And after defeat, there can be victory. Maybe I need victory over breaking a bad habit. I know many good brethren who have conquered habits, and myself, I've conquered habits with the help of God and putting my faith in Him. There are brethren who have conquered things like smoking, using bad language, gossiping, addiction to alcohol or drugs. Why? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I may have fallen. I may have made a mess of things, but I can get back up. To be truly defeated, stay there. Stay down. Don't get up again. Just stay in the pig pen. Die there. That's real defeat. You may get up dirty, smelling like a pig. You may be ashamed, embarrassed, and humiliated. You may have members even of your own family that will hardly speak to you because of things you've done or said. Get back up. Hold your head high. Not because you are worthy, but because God loves you. And He still wants to save you. And just like with that prodigal, He will embrace you. He will put new clothes on you. And He will restore you. And there will be victory after defeat. So whatever area of life it is that you feel or you realize that you've been defeated in, get back up. Move forward. Break those bad habits. Win those souls that maybe you've given up on. Do the things that you and I need to do to move forward to victory. So, get back up one more time than you fall. But now number two, or really number four, you think about this morning's lesson being the first two, and tonight's lesson being the second two. Number four on our list of principles of how there can be victory after defeat. Be sure you're on the right team. Be sure you're on the right side. You look at the book of Joshua, you say, well, they're on God's side. And yet, they were defeated. Well, they were on God's side, but the problem was, you know, somebody on the team wasn't. You know, they say about team, you know, when they're trying to build camaraderie in a business or something like that, you know, there is no I in team. I have observed, though, that there is a letter M and a letter E, which is me. So it can kind of work the same way. We've got to be sure that we're on the right team. We've got to be sure that we are living our lives. You know, Achan, back there in Joshua 7 and 8, he was supposedly on God's team, but he wasn't living like he needed to. And there were consequences or ripple effects of that. So we've got to be sure that we're on the right team. We've got to be sure that we're on God's side. I have read that Abraham Lincoln was asked during the Civil War, are you sure God is on your side? And while I'm not trying to make any commentary about whether the Civil War was a God thing or the justness of it or whatever, Mr. Lincoln supposedly replied this way, I'm not so concerned if God is on our side, but whether we are on God's side. And now take that principle, remove it from the Civil War context, just take that principle about being sure you're on God's side. Because if I'm going to have victory after defeat, then you know what? I need to get off the losing team. I need to get the attitudes and the behavior out of my own life that caused the team to lose. And I've got to put myself in such a position that this team is moving forward. And we may have lost, and I may have played a big role in that loss, and I may have a lot of responsibility because of that, in regard to that. But not anymore. I'm going to listen to the coach. I'm going to do the exercises. I'm going to run the drills. I'm going to read the playbook. I'm going to learn what it is I'm supposed to do, and then I'm going to get out there on the field and execute exactly what it is that the coach wants me to do. And he's going to send me in the right direction because He's out there to coach me to win. You make the illustration, obviously, very easily to our spiritual life about contemplating spiritual matters and spiritual concern in our life that we need to listen to the Father. Jesus said in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. And so we need to listen to the Father. We cannot be out here thinking, I've got this all covered. You know, I am an island. I can solo my way through Christianity, and I don't really need the church. I don't really need, you know, the support of all this. That is a bunch of baloney. You will fail. It's a guaranteed loss. Get on God's side. It's not that it's going to tip the scales that God's going to win, because let me tell you something. Spoiler alert, I've read the book. God wins, okay? Which side am I on? Which side am I on? And do not let the defeat of sin and discouragement weigh so heavily upon your heart and soul and mind that you just decide to quit. Or even worse, join the wrong team. Be where you need to be. And do what you need to do. And live how it is that Jesus wants us to live. Just listen and follow. Be sure that you're on the right team. Here's some powerful verses as we contemplate the changes that we need to make in our spiritual life on a consistently regular basis. You know, there is no Christian who has ever arrived. I've met a few who maybe, without being too judgmental here, but I got the impression they thought they had. But let me tell you something. There's not a one of us that has arrived. There's not a one of us can say, we know everything there is to know about Christianity, and therefore we have all the answers. I have discovered, the longer I live, I discover the people who think they have all the answers don't even know half the questions. But I know who does. Know all of them. And I know even better who knows all of the answers to the questions I haven't even thought of yet. And so as we're contemplating this growth that every Christian needs to have, whether you've been a Christian for 3 months, 3 years, 3 decades, no matter how long you've been a child of God, each and every one of us needs to grow. Each and every one of us needs to realize that we're going to face defeats from time to time, but there can still be victory. And if you would contemplate, let me give you about 5 or 6 verses here for you to contemplate as you think about, as we all think about, the ever-maturing, growing, developing spiritual life that we should have. Acts 22:16. Now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:37. In all these things, and when you read the context there of Romans 8, he's talking about tribulation, distress, famine, nakedness, all peril, danger, all sorts of negative things that can discourage us and defeat us. He says, but in all these things, what? We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I've told you this before, but that word there, that phrase there in our English Bible that says more than conquerors, it would be perfectly legitimate. It might not make as much sense in English, but it would be perfectly legitimate English translation if that read, in all these things, we are super victorious. That's a legitimate way to translate those words in the original language into our English language to make us realize that we can be super victorious. Victory after defeat. James 5:16. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails or works much. And 2 Corinthians 2:14. Thanks be to God who always leads us to triumph in Christ. Be on the right team. Have and find victory. Yes, even after defeat. So now we extend the invitation of Christ for a second time today. Where are you in relationship to the Savior? Do you feel defeated? Are you defeated? It is not easy to admit. It is not pleasurable to admit. But let's just face it. We are human. We are tempted. And sometimes we are weak. And we fail. You don't have to remain a failure. You don't have to go down like you feel like you're going down right now. It doesn't have to end this way. Man, you may have come into this room feeling one way, but I guarantee you, if you'll do what it is that God wants you to do, you can leave this room, you can leave this world feeling a whole different way. So we encourage you. Because of the love of God, because of the love of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, because of the message of the Holy Spirit of God in the Spirit's Word, find victory. Overcome. And don't be defeated anymore. Victory. Yours for the having. Would you come as we stand and we sing?